Joining us now is Sheldon Hirsch, and he is an author and has a very, very entertaining book out. It really is very good. It's called Hot Hands, Draft Hype, DiMaggio and DiMaggio's Streak, Debunking America's Favorite Sport Myths. And Sheldon grew up in New York, wrestled at Amherst College. He's a kidney doctor and a self-professed sports geek. He lives in Chicago and apparently roots for the Yankees. We won't hold that against him, but he's a co-author of The Beauty of Short Hops as well. Sheldon, nice to have you on our show today. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, and really, I picked the book up, and I didn't know what to expect. And then the first thing is about Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak is overrated. Now, on these shows, we sometimes on rain delays or Sundays, we say, all right, what streak or what record will never be broken? And, of course, they go to DiMaggio's streak with complete reverence. But you don't treat that streak so reverently, do you?
Well, first of all, we can all agree that it was a great piece of hitting. Over 56 games, he hit .408 with 15 home runs. But my question is whether that justifies the deification of the streak. It's become almost a religious icon status kind of thing, where many people, as you said, call it the greatest feat in baseball history, and some people even call it the greatest thing ever done in any sport ever.
Right.
Now, I kind of hesitate to challenge the streak to a San Francisco audience where DiMaggio, I'm sure, is held in high esteem and justifiably so as an all-time great. But let me give you quickly a couple points to consider. First, there have been other streaks as impressive. Oral Hershiser's 59 consecutive scoreless innings. And in the context of the current thinking of on-base percentage as probably more important than batting average, Ted Williams had a 84 consecutive game streak of getting on base. More importantly, there have been other 56-game sequences where batters seemingly have done much better than DiMaggio. Rogers Hornsby, George Brett, and Ted Williams, for example, all hit between .440 and .480, which is much higher than DiMaggio. And best of all, over the exact time period as DiMaggio's streak, he wasn't even the best hitter in baseball. At that time, Williams had a higher batting average and a much higher on-base percentage. So those are some things to consider. And the last thing I'd like you to think about is to consider the nature of consecutiveness, because that's what
That's the issue.
So the question is, what does consecutive mean? What benefit does being consecutive give something? And what relevance is that to DiMaggio's streak, where in fact the items of interest, the hits, were not really consecutive? They were separated by many at-bats, by games, by days. And that contrasts quite a bit, I think, to, for example, if a team gets one hit an inning for nine innings, it may get shut out. But if a team gets nine consecutive hits in the traditional meaning of consecutiveness, it's got six, seven, eight, or nine runs. So I think that's something to think about in terms of DiMaggio's streak.
All right. You're sure you're not a lawyer, right?
I wouldn't stoop that low.
All right. Oh, thank you very much. All right. Okay. Sheldon Hirsch, kidney doctor, talking to a criminal lawyer. All right. I like it. All right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's
I've got
okay.
to apologize then.
No, don't apologize. I take that abuse all the time. It's okay. you make a couple other, and I really enjoy the book. I really do recommend it. Sheldon, where can you get the book, by the way?
Well, the easiest and most modern way is Amazon.com. It's also at Barnes & Noble and Google Play, and also, believe it or not, in the old-fashioned mortar and real bookstores.
Yeah, I hope it's up in Montclair, at the book tree up in Montclair, because David carries a lot of baseball books. But you make a couple that I think you explained it very well, and it gives the fans a chance to know what this is all about. As I said, it's very enjoyable. And you make a very good legal argument, let me tell you. Hank Aaron didn't bat against black pitchers either. And talking about Hank Aaron versus Babe Ruth, what is your argument on that?
Well, the broad stroke is one of the favorite things that sports fans do. One of our great arguments is who's better, Mantle or Mays, this guy, you know, Manning or Brady in another sport, the old guys or the new guys. So when Hank Aaron broke Babe's home run record, that argument came to the forefront where people supported Ruth. You know, he had better seasons, 60 home runs. And people, on the other hand, supported Aaron. And one of the comments that was commonly made was he faced better competition than Ruth did. And specifically, they claimed that he faced a new demographic. Now, obviously, in the interim between Ruth and Aaron, Jackie Robinson had joined Major League Baseball, and a whole slew of immensely talented black American players followed. But as it turned out, if you actually really look at the evidence, that African-American players, for different reasons, and some of them probably aren't even known, flocked to the field positions and not so much to the mound. So, in fact, there's never been more than 6% of major league pitchers as African-Americans. And for most of Aaron's career, only a couple percent of the pitchers he faced were Americans. And in fact, of the 50 pitchers he faced most often in his career, I think there were only two or three African Americans. And Aaron, of course, also played well before the inflow of Asian and Dominican pitchers. So in fact, the demographic profile of pitching that Aaron faced was really not much different than what Babe Ruth faced.
Boy, very good. Very good. The book is called Hot Hands, Draft Hype, and DiMaggio's Streak. As you can tell, Sheldon makes a very good argument on debunking America's favorite sport myths. Now, you do go to some other sports, and this is a baseball show, a Giants pregame. But why don't you just touch on one of the other sports where you debunk a myth of a basketball or football game?
Well, let's take, for example, LeBron James, who is a polarizing feature, a polarizing person. Had a great game the other night, by the way. But anyway, some of the things he's been really criticized for by a lot of people. First, when he went to Miami, and one of the criticisms there by people like Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan was that that demonstrated a lack of heart. He joined people to create a team rather than trying to defeat them. And those stars of yore claimed that this had never been done in the history of the NBA. James was creating new grounds of cowardice. When, in fact, if you look back at the history of the NBA, this sort of thing had been done before. Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill joined together in Orlando. Moses Malone joined Julius Erving and Andrew Toney in Philadelphia. Erving joined George McGinnis in Philadelphia, and there are other examples, too. The second thing, more recently, that a myth that applied to James, two seasons ago, when in the middle of the season he went to work out on an off day with Dwayne Wade. And Barkley and Jordan and the usual cast of characters, for the same kind of thinking, went crazy. How do you practice with a foe? How are you buddies with a foe? Turns out, by the way, according to Wade's wife, James and Wade have a kind of bromance. They love each other. So that kind of thing, Barkley and Jordan and guys said that had never happened in the history of the NBA. They were breaking grounds there. Well, in order to say that, you have to forget the very beginnings of the NBA when their greatest stars, Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, early in their careers, used to go over each other's houses before games, have dinner together, play Lionel Trains together, sleep over.
I like Lionel Trains. Lionel Trains.
Very good. That kind of dates us, but yes. Imagine, how would you like to be a fly on the wall watching Wilt and Bill Russell over a Lionel train set?
I like the engine where the smoke came out. That was a good one. And, you know, that was my favorite. You know, all right. Well, hey, listen.
But anyway, Wilt and Russell were the original bromance. Wade and James broke no new ground. And all it spoke to was a myth and the way sometimes we have selective memories when we want to criticize someone.
Boy, very good. Very good. I appreciate having you on. Sheldon Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H. You get the book anywhere. Go up to Montclair to the Book Tree. Maybe they've got it up there. But very good. It's very enjoyable. And you make all these arguments and maybe about 50 or 60 different incidents. So I like it. Sheldon, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
good luck for the Giants.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sheldon. All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.